256, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chavav. The story up to now is that Yosef sent the brothers, sentence 25, Yavayalum Mitzrayim, sentence 25. The brothers were sent up by Yosef with a whole bunch of goodies for Yaakov Avinu, and he said, send them down. I want them to be with him. I will support him. I will give him the best of the land. Just make sure. And Paro also sent wagons. So the pasuk said, Vayalum in Mitzrayim. They went up from Egypt. And the question is, why does it say they went up from Egypt? So the answer is, Israel is higher than all the other lands. It doesn't necessarily mean physically. It means spiritually. Going up from the corruption of Egypt to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So they went up from Mitzrayim, Vayavei Eretz Canaan, they came to the land of Canaan, El Yaakov Avim, to the Yaakov their father. Now, why was it mentioned here that they went up to the land of Canaan? We know, it should have said they came up to Yaakov. We know that Yaakov lived in the land of Canaan. Why does it have to say it? So the commentators explain, because the fact that they're soon going to be going down to Egypt, they're going to end up dying in Egypt, they're basically saying farewell, they're saying goodbye to this country of Eretz Canaan. So therefore the Torah is mentioning that it was very dear to them, the fact that they're in the land of Canaan. So they came up from the land of Canaan, and they came to Yaakov their father. And they said to him, saying. Now, there's a lot of questions.
Can I ask something?
What?
If Canaan was Israel, right?
Right.
So why don't we call it Canaan now? Why do we have to call it now?
No, because after the Jews conquered the land, it changed from Canaan. Canaan was the nations that lived in the land of Israel. But now that after the Jews conquered it, it became Eretz Yisrael, became elevated to a state of Kedusha, of holiness. Now, they spoke to him, Vayagidu lo lemer, and the word Vayagidu really means harshly speaking. And the commentaries explain, why does it say Vayaged, and also the double expression Vayoymer? They told him and they said. What do you mean they told him and they said? I mean it's redundant. So the commentators explain, it was harsh because they thought, and we'll soon see if it ever happened, they thought that it's going to be very difficult for Yaakov. Why? Because they thought Yaakov's going to find out what really happened. That they were the ones that sold him. So it was very difficult for them to do it. And also the commentators explain, why does it say also lemer, that they have said? Meaning, they were afraid also, because it might hurt the health of Yaakov Avinu. When Sarah heard that Yitzchok was almost slaughtered in the Akedah, and he wasn't, she got so excited, she died. And Shammah left the body. They didn't want Yaakov Avinu, after 22 years of suffering, that he should just, you know... So it was very harsh, difficult for them, so to speak, to tell it to them. Now, he brings out over here a medrash called Sefer HaYoshad, which is a medrash on the book of Bereishis, says the following. When the brothers were coming home, as they were nearing Yaakov's home, they were discussing how in the world are they going to tell him. What are they going to tell him? Yosef's alive. And, you know, what are they going to do? So they met Asher's daughter, well, by the name of Sarach. Sarach Bas Asher. She had a lot of charm, it says. She played the harp beautifully. And they said to her, go to Yaakov, go to your grandfather, and play the harp, and sing a song, Od Yosef Chai, that Yosef is still alive. And just play the song that he should get, you know, hear the things that he's alive.
That's a smart way to do it.
Huh?
It's a smart way to do it.
Yes. So, little by little, he started getting a little excited, and when he started getting back the divine spirit, when the brothers finally, in fact, even before that, it says, Yaakov Avinu said to Sarach, to his granddaughter, you comforted me, and as your reward, I pray that you will never die. And she was taka alive in David HaMelech's time. She entered alive into paradise. She never died. Because of Yaakov Avinu's bracha.
When
she never...
When she,
no, it doesn't say when she entered in. No, it doesn't say when. No.
When Golda Meir passed away.
Doubt it. Now, while Yaakov was speaking to Sarach Bas Asher, the brothers came, and they looked royal with the royal garments that Yosef gave to them. And they said, there's wonderful news that Yosef is alive, he's the governor, and even though Yaakov was expecting it, so to be, it was still unexpected, and he still couldn't believe it. Okay? Another opinion says that the brothers wanted Yaakov to know right away that Yosef was alive, so they sent Naphtali, who was the fast runner, to run to Yaakov, but he didn't have the nerve to go in to tell Yaakov on himself, by himself, so he waited anyway until the brothers came.
He couldn't talk anyway.
Huh?
Naphtali couldn't talk anyway.
No, Chushim. Dun's
couldn't talk.
Dun's son couldn't talk.
It was a grandson.
No. Grandson of Yaakov couldn't talk. What? When?
I read in some place that the Asher was not really the Asher's daughter, she was the daughter of his wife.
In the Pshat, I also read that somewhere, but Lepoel, they say she was Bas Oshech. I mean, that's the way they look at the... All the Mephoshtun Pashtun said it was Sarach Bas Oshech. That it was his daughter, not his stepdaughter. Okay, so they told him, and they said, they said them the following, Hey, Yosef Chai, Yosef is alive. And not only that, but he's actually ruling the entire land of Egypt. And here there's different interpretation what Vayofag means, but basically it means he rejected the notion. He didn't believe them. Another interpretation, his heart was divided. He didn't know if he should believe them or not. His heart became weakened. There's a lot of different opinions. He became numb. You know, what the word Vayofag means. Whatever it means, though, Kilayam and Lahem, he didn't believe them. In Chassidus, the Rebbe explains, why didn't Yaakov believe them? I mean, they tell him, why should they lie? I mean, you know, he's alive. Why should they believe him? So it says that Yaakov couldn't believe, not physically, that he was alive. Ed Yosef Chai means he is still alive like the real Yosef, and he's a ruler in Egypt. Yaakov could not believe that Yosef should be a tzaddik and a ruler in Egypt at the same time. He said he can't be. He didn't believe them. Why? Because the patriarchs of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and many of them, didn't have the ability, like we learned, to be in the world and still remain tzaddikim. Like we discussed before, that's why there were shepherds. You know, they basically secluded themselves from the world. They didn't want to have anything to do with the world. They grazed the sheep in the field and they were able to sit and learn Torah and do whatever they had to do. Only Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik because only Yosef had the ability to be in Mitzrayim and at the same time be a tzaddik. But Yaakov on his level couldn't believe that. So when they told him Yosef is alive and that he's a leader in Egypt, Yaakov said, I don't believe you. It can't be that he's still a religious Jew in the Mitzrayim. It can't be. So Vayidabro Elav, so the pasuk continues, and now they cause Yaakov to believe it. How did they cause Yaakov to believe it? Because it said Vayidabro Elav is called Divrei Yosef Asher Dibar Aleihem. They told Yaakov everything that Yosef spoke to them. Vayareso Agolis. And he saw the wagons, Asher Shalach Yosef, Lossi says that Yosef sent to carry him up, Vatchiroch Yaakov Avim, and the spirit of Yaakov became alive. Okay? Now, obviously, there's a lot of questions over here. Just because he saw wagons, you believe somebody. I mean, to prove that Yosef is alive is because he sent wagons. And there's another important issue over here. If you notice before, Yosef didn't send the wagons, Pari sent the wagons. Pari said to the brothers, take wagons and bring them to your father. So why does the pasuk say over here that the wagons which Yosef sent, when really Yosef didn't send them, Pari sent them? So Rashi explains that there's a play on the word of agola. Agola comes from the same word egla. Egla is a calf. The Medrash says that when Yaakov sent Yosef away 22 years earlier, he sent them to the brothers. The last thing they were learning was the law of an egla rufa. How did they get to this din? When Yaakov sent Yosef to go see how the brothers are doing, which eventually led him to be thrown into the pit, which led him to be sold, and the whole story happened, Yaakov decided to accompany Yosef on his journey. for a little bit of the way, he accompanied him. So Yosef said to Yaakov, "Father, why are you accompanying me? Why don't you go home?" So he said, "Let me tell you a halacha in the Torah. There's a halacha later on in the Chumash Devarim that if you find a dead body outside the city and you don't know who killed him, you measure to the closest city. The elders of the city take a calf, which was never worked with. They chop off its head. In that area, they chop off its head. And there's a whole procedure of what should be done. And the elders of the city say, Yodeinu leshufcho adam hazeh, we did not shed this blood." So the Gemara asks, would somebody think that the elders of the city, the Bezdin, the Tzadikim, are murderers, that they have to come along and say, "We didn't shed this blood"? So it says, yes, it was their fault, because they didn't accompany the person outside of the city. When a person goes, you have to accompany the person outside of a city. So Yaakov was telling Yosef this din, you know why I'm accompanying you? Because accompaniment is a very integral part of hospitality, and you have guests, you're supposed to walk him out, you're supposed to accompany them a little bit, go, goodbye, there's the door and leave. You're supposed to accompany them a little bit. So Yaakov said to Yosef, "That's what why I'm accompanying you. That was the last din that Yaakov and Yosef learned together. So the word agola is the same word as egla, calf. So Yosef hinted to Yaakov, "I want you to know that for 22 years that he was away from home, I still remembered the last halacha of Torah that you taught me." So when Yaakov saw that Yosef remembered what he learned 22 years ago, and Egypt didn't cause him to forget the learning, so then Yaakov was able to realize that he was alive, a living Jew. And therefore it says, that's why it doesn't say the wagons which Paro sent. Yes, Paro sent them, but it's the wagons that Yosef sent, meaning this is the sign that Yosef is giving to his father that he's still a religious Jew. In the Zayah, another Mephoshim bring down that Yosef sent separate wagons besides what Paro sent. So there were Paro's wagons and Yosef's wagons. There were different wagons. But that basic emphasis over here is the fact that the brothers saw... Now, that's one opinion. Another opinion says... Yeah.
How did the wagons allude to...
Because in Hebrew, agola is a wagon, and egla is a calf. So it's the same letters, basically. I mean, the commentaries ask on that. I mean, just because... I mean, how do you get the word agola? Egla, I mean, you know...
Isn't that reaching kind of...
No, because this explains, you're right, but in Hebrew, when things have the same letters, even though they might have different vowels, they're interchangeable. Just like things with numerical values, which are completely different words, the fact that they have the same letters. In Torah, you have two words with the same letters, but they're in different formation of letters, also have something in common. That's the beauty of the Hebrew language. And the greatness and the holiness of the Hebrew language, that it has all these meanings. And by the way, the simple meaning of the pasuk is he saw the wagons which he sent. That's the simple meaning. But the obvious question is, Yosef didn't send the wagons, Paro sent the wagons. Why is the pasuk saying Yosef sent the wagons? So obviously there's a deeper meaning that Rashi quotes in the Medrash, in the Gemara, that there's a deeper meaning of what actually went on over here. But in a deeper, deeper sense, that's what caused Yaakov to believe that he was alive. Because other commentaries say very simple. Wagons, like we learned last time, wagons were never allowed to leave Egypt. They were only used for war. According to the law of Egypt, you were not allowed to take wagons out. So when Yaakov saw the wagons, he knew that the brothers didn't steal them. They obviously were sent by Yosef. So that, in the simple meaning, that's how he believed that Yosef was alive. Because obviously, what does wagons have to do with Yosef being alive? They could have bought wagons in the store. Because in Egypt, the only one that could have sent wagons out was somebody in the leadership position. But that's the simple meaning of it. Another interpretation is, Vayar, like it says before, when there was a hunger, it says in the Pasuk, Vayar Yaakov, Yaakov saw that there was food in Egypt. And we learned then that Rashi quotes, Vayar means he saw a prophecy that there's hope in Egypt. And the Mefarshim explained here also, Vayar actually means Yaakov saw a prophetic vision that Yosef was alive. Once, because the spirit left him for 22 years. He was depressed. When you're depressed, godliness doesn't come upon you. Godliness only comes when you learn chapter 26, 27, 28, 29 of Tanya, and you get undepressed, so then God can rest upon you. So it says that Yaakov had no divine vision until Yosef was alive, until he found out Yosef was alive. And then Vayad, he actually saw the divine prophecy. We find the same thing later on in Chumash, by the way, also. You know, it's very interesting. When you go through Chumash, the spies, the story with the spies, is in Parsha Shlach. Okay? From Shlach until Chumash Devarim is only a few Parshias. Shlach happened before the 40 years, because the spies came back and they were decreed to be 40 years in the desert. The whole 40 years, God didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Until the last book of Devarim, God didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Basically. With few exceptions, but as a rule, God didn't speak to him. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was upset that the generation was dying out. And when you're depressed, there is no prophecy or vision of godliness. So that's actually what happened.
So how do you write Torah in 40 years?
There was no Torah written in 40 years. Look at the story. Shlach and Koyach happened right away. Right? Chukas Balak already was at the end of the 40 years. The story of the spies in Koyach happened at the beginning of the 40 years. And the next parasha is already at the end of the 40 years. There was no Torah written in those 40 years, practically. Why? Because when people are upset and depressed, it doesn't work. There's no godly visions. So now that Yaakov is becoming alive, he saw the wagons and his prophecy came back to him, you know, his divine visions came back to him, so he knew that Yosef was alive. Other people say Paritaka did send the wagons, but Yosef, he commanded Yosef to send them. Okay, so Vatchiruach Yaakov Avim. Now there's an interesting question. Did the brothers ever tell Yaakov that he sold Yosef? That they sold Yosef or not? Well, we have a lot of different opinions. Besides the class's opinions, the Ramban maintains that brothers never told Yaakov, and Yaakov never knew. From Rashi, the implication is that he did know. Because when he cursed Shimon and Levi in last week's Parsha, Rashi says he cursed them for selling Yosef. Okay? So obviously, according to Rashi, they did know. But the Ramban,
What did he curse them?
He cursed them, he cursed their anger.
Yeah.
That they did things very impulsively. And they killed out Shechem, and they sold Yosef into slavery. Those were all the things that Yaakov cursed them. Well, their anger, not the person. But Ramban learns that he never told. In fact, it says, according to him, that even Yosef rarely visited his father in Egypt. If you look in last week's parsha, Yaakov had to call Yosef to come to him. Yosef had to come to him to bring the boys Menashe and Ephraim. Okay? So it says in the Medrash that Yosef rarely came to see Yaakov. Why? And he never was with him alone. Why? Because he didn't want Yaakov to ask him what went on. He didn't want to tell his father what went on. He could not tell his father if his father says, tell me what happened. So he rarely went to his father. When he did, he went with somebody else. Because he didn't want to give Yaakov the pain to know that the boys actually sold him. That's what the Ramban learns. From Rashi, the implication is that he did. The lesson is obviously clear. That you have to do everything possible to spare Lashon Hara, to give somebody ill feelings, to make him feel bad. You have to do everything.
But if he had told his father that they sold him, it wasn't Lashon Hara.
Why?
Why is it Lashon Hara?
That the brothers did a terrible thing?
Well, you're supposed
but
to.
But it
like
wouldn't
it.
Solve anything, yeah, you're right.
Huh?
It wouldn't solve anything, so it would be Lashon Hara.
The only thing is that Yosef would have explained to Yaakov. Because they sold me as a slave, all this good came out of it. Right? But that was from God's perspective.
Yeah.
The brothers were punished for selling Yosef, like we learned, right? So from the brothers' perspective, they did wrong. So Yaakov would be upset that their brothers did wrong, even though the end result of it all was very good.
Yaakov thought all the time, all along, that the animals tore Yosef apart.
No. Well, but obviously, what it says over here, it's interesting because what it says over here, here, it says also the Mefarshim. I'm going to answer your questions. The Mefarshim say, you know why Yaakov didn't believe them? Because he never believed them. They're a bunch of liars. They said that coat was eaten by a wild animal. But the Mefarshim say what Yaakov thought at the end was, the brothers thought he was eaten by a wild animal, but he got lost, and whatever. They found his clothing, but he was safe. I mean, you have a lot of times people are hiking, they get lost, and their clothing are in one place, and they end up being safe. So that's...
And they end up becoming kings.
Yes.
But even according to Rashi, it doesn't mean that Yosef told Yaakov. It could have been like through other means.
Correct. Rashi doesn't say that Yaakov... But according to Rashi, it implies that Yaakov did know somehow that he was aware of it. Okay. Vayayim Yisrael, Pasek Chav Ches. Vayayim Yisrael said... Meaning Yaakov said, and it's interesting the way the Torah is going from Yaakov to Yisrael. Yosef Atchi Ruach Yaakov Aviem. All of a sudden it goes Vayayim Yisrael. The next pasuk says Yisrael. Then the pasuk afterwards says Yaakov. It's going back and forth over here, and this is the source of what the Gemara says, that Yaakov and Yisrael are two distinct names that are interchangeable. And when we get to the psukim, we'll see more the difference between them. Anyway, Vayayim Yisrael, and the Zohar says, why is he called Yisrael now, when before he's called Yaakov? Because before, when he didn't have the godly spirit, he was Yaakov, the lower level. Now that he got the godly spirit, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov, so now he became Vayayim Yisrael, because he reached a higher level of prophecy. As like we learned, Yaakov comes to the word Akev, which is heel. Yisrael comes to the word Sar Kel or Li Rosh, if you switch around the letters, which means a great level. So when Yaakov was in the depressed level, without the divine presence of prophecy, he was called Yaakov. When he was in a higher level of Simcha and a closer connection to Hashem, he's called Yisrael. So he said, what? Oh. Vayayim Yisrael, Rav Ed Yesu B'Nichai, how great. Rav means wow. Ed Yesu B'Nichai, Yesu is alive. Let me go see him before I die. No, there's a few psukim of Yisrael and a few psukim of Yaakov. Coming up, there's both. We'll soon see. Now, what does it mean, Rav? So simply, it means how great. You know, Rav, how great that my son Yaakov Yosef is still alive. The Daskin Balatesa says, what does it mean, Rav Ayesu B'Nichai? Rav is another word in Hebrew for a captain. And the captain that brought the wagons, right, they sent wagons with people to drive them, right? Because the brothers had their own things to bring back. So they had wagons, and there was a chief captain of the wagons. So Yaakov didn't believe the brothers. So he wanted to make sure. So he said, Rav, you know, this captain, Ey Yosef B'Nichai, my son's still alive. And I was like, he asked him a question. Another interpretation is that the brothers said to him, Rav, there's a lot to talk about yet. But the main thing is, Ey Yosef B'Nichai, the main thing is Yosef's alive. But there's really a lot more to talk about. There's a very there's an unbelievable interpretation they bring down over here from what's his name? Hadar Zkenim. It's a remarkable explanation of what Yaakov is saying over here. Rav Yosef B'Nichai. And to preface it, because I have to explain a little bit of past to understand what this means. When Yaakov and Esav were born as twins, okay. Before they were born, Rivka had these, you know, problems with the stomach. Everybody's running out, banging, and she didn't know what it was. So she went to the yeshiva Shem Ve'eva to ask God what's going on. So Shem said to her, you have two goyim, two nations in your stomach. You know, one will be stronger than the next. V'dav yavit zo'ir. And the older one will serve the younger one. Meaning, Esav will serve Yaakov when the Jews behave. That's issue number one. Issue number two, in Parshas Vayishlach, it says, Yaakov is in Lavan's house. I'm sorry, in Vayetze, Yaakov is in Lavan's house. And it says, as soon as Yosef is born, Yaakov says, it's time to go home. So Rashi explains, why now? I mean, if you're waiting, wait for Binyamin to be born already. Why? Yosef is born, it's time to go home.
Where was home?
Back to Israel. He was in Lavan's house, you know, getting married to four wives and who knows how many kids and working for a long time.
Said 33 here.
What?
How many kids?
No, that's later. No, those were kids, grandchildren, everybody. So Yaakov Avinu said it's time to go home. So Rashi brings down over there, why did Yaakov decide to go home after Yosef was born? Because in the Haftarah of Vayishlach it says, "Bahaya beis Yosef lakash," that Esav is likened to straw, "or beis Yosef lahava," and Yosef is the fire that burns the straw. You know, when there's a battle between fire and straw, fire wins. So now that Yosef is the fire, Yaakov says, "I'm not afraid of Esav anymore, because I have Yosef, who's the fire that's going to destroy the straw of Esav." Okay. So now, when Yosef was thought to be dead, Yaakov would be afraid of Esav. Even now, Yaakov, symbolizing the Jew, would be afraid of the Esav because Yosef is not alive anymore, in Yaakov's opinion, to burn down Esav. Now that Yosef is alive, so now Yaakov is not afraid anymore of Esav because Yosef is here to burn Esav. Right?
Is this spiritually or physically?
Spiritually and physically. That's why he says, I answer you like a typical Jew. Except I didn't say it with a question. The question, so Yosef, Yaakov says, and this is a remarkable thing, Rav is the older one, Rav Yaveh Tzoyah, the older one, Esav will serve the younger one. So Yaakov Avinu says, Rav, meaning Esav. Hey, Yosef ben Ichai. Yosef is still alive. I'm not afraid of you anymore. That's what Yaakov is saying over here. Rav, because the word Rav doesn't make sense here. So simply English is Rav, oh, how great. Yosef ben Ichai. Right? Another interpretation is Rav refers to the captain of the wagons. Yaakov didn't believe the brothers. But a deeper interpretation is that Yisrael said Rav to Esav, so to speak. Esav, the older one, Esav ben Ichai, I'm lucky that Esav is still alive.
Where do we see that in the history?
Huh?
Where do we see that in the history that Esav was afraid of Yaakov? Was that the time of Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah, when the Jews behaved properly, then Esav was afraid of them.
But
Hadar's Kenim is called.
Who outlived who, Rabbi? Esav or Yaakov? I mean Jacob.
We told the story in Shul Shabbos afternoon before learning.
I wasn't there.
I know. That's the exact point I'm making.
Tell me what quick answer.
It's hard to say. Yaakov died 70 days before Esav. Esav was killed at Yaakov's funeral.
Really?
Yeah.
Who killed
him? Hushim.
Cut his head off. Cut his head off. Who did?
Okay, when we get to the story, we'll learn it. Listen, we have to finish Vayigash. We get to the end of Vayichi. In about 2 years, we'll learn the story. So remind me, I'll tell you the story.
I'm waiting for you to get to B'Shalach.
I'm getting there.
Shabbos Shira.
Yeah, we're getting there. About 10 more years. Okay. So Yaakov said, Yisrael says, my son is still alive. El Chovet, Enu B'Tarim Obos, let me go see him before I die. But the Mefarshim explained that Yaakov's intention was, let me go see him. Yaakov never intended to move to Egypt. He didn't. He thought he was going to go see him and go home, and hopefully with Yosef, without Yosef, but Yaakov Avinu didn't expect to be down in Egypt because he didn't like Egypt. You know, Yaakov Avinu was a tzaddik. He belonged in Eretz Yisrael. He said, let me go see him. I don't want to, that's all I want to do is I want to see him. Now, it also says in the Medrash that when the people of Canaan, who Yaakov was basically a great leader in the land of Canaan, even though he was a Jew, but he was still a great leader in the land of Canaan, it says they all got so happy, they all started partying for him, and Yaakov made a 3-day feast for all the neighbors to celebrate the fact that Yosef was alive. This was even before he went down. Okay, now, why did Yaakov say, I want to go see him? So it says in the Medrash that Yaakov wanted to see with his own eyes that Yosef is still religious. He couldn't believe it. I mean, still, you know, said, let me go see him before I die. Why was Yaakov so excited? Because Yaakov was told in prophecy that if none of his kids die in his lifetime, he automatically goes to Gan Eden. Automatically. If some of the kids die, if any of his guys die, he doesn't go to Gan Eden. So now Yaakov realized, now I can die, he says, because, you know, my son is here. I know I'm guaranteed a ticket to Gan Eden, and therefore I want to go. I want to go see him.
How do you guarantee a ticket to Gan Eden?
If you buy a first class ticket, you get.
How do you do that?
Huh?
United Airlines, they're out of business.
If you have a bird,
beer,
you go there.
You just buy it.
You clap on Shabbat.
John, your fault, John.
Jimmy, you didn't hear it. You know, you go straight to. He said, Jimmy's right. Hello. Besides the beard, you have to bang Shabbos on the table.
Jimmy said that. Yeah. I'm waiting for him to bang his head on the wall, then I'll bang.
And if your children die while you're...
No, only Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was not, God forbid, every person. I mean, Yaakov Avinu was told by Hashem that if none of your kids die, you're guaranteed to go to Gan Eden. And otherwise not. So, at least that was his...
If you have 7 sons,
huh? Yes. Yeah, because then you get up with 7 daughters-in-law. If you survive them, mothers-in-law. Yeah, it's if you survive them, go straight to
Gan Eden. All legal, right?
All legal,
right? Surely.
Of course, only fine. Legal.
Listen, when you get up to heaven, Mount Hashem, or you're 120, you ask God
where you are.
We
ask God where you are.
Let me finish the question.
You're asking his thing.
Amen,
yeah?
Maybe you'll end up playing ball for me, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
When you go to Gan Eden, you'll ask the Eibishter, how did he allow Yaakov to, you know, involve himself sexually with so many women, legal or illegal, have all these sons, have all this mishpucha.
Listen, when I come up there and you'll be there, you'll remind me.
No.
Okay, Vayisa Yisrael. Okay, Vayisa Yisrael. Yisrael traveled, and there again he's called the Inyev of Yisrael. And he left. Where did he leave from? He left from the city of Hebron, because that's where Yaakov Avinu lived at this time. Yaakov left B'chol HaShalei and everything that he had. Everybody came with him. And as the commentators explain, that even though he had now married children with kids, I mean, all the Shvatim were married and families and everybody, nevertheless, they all left with Yaakov Avinu, which is to say their greatness, that they stuck together as a family, that everybody went. I mean, the brothers didn't hesitate. You know, we understand Yaakov went to see his son, but why did all the other brothers go? They all went.
What about their wives?
So everybody went. We're going to soon see everybody went.
The women doesn't want to go.
We'll soon see.
It was a desperate situation. There's a famine. There's no food.
I don't know. They could have gotten food up in Egypt. They could have gotten and bought and went back like they did the rest of the time. They came to Beersheba. Beersheba, as it's called in English. Did they make a cheshbon over here? Beersheba is 28 miles southwest of Hebron. And from Hebron going to Egypt, that was the path, you go through Be'er Sheva. And we'll soon see why Yaakov Avinu stopped in Be'er Sheva. But over there, Vayizbach Zvachim, and he brought sacrifices, the Lekei Aviv Yitzchok, to the God of his father Yitzchok. Now, why is the Torah emphasizing that he went to Be'er Sheva? I mean, he went to Egypt, you know, what's the difference, he went to Be'er Sheva. So, number one, Yaakov Avinu says, was hoping that God would tell him not to go. Because Yitzchok was told, his father Yitzchok was told, don't go. Yaakov is very hesitant to leave Eretz Yisrael. Number one, for a tzaddik on his level, he didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael, unless if God told him. In fact, in the Haggadah of Pesach, we say, Vayeded Mitzrayma, Yaakov went down to Egypt, Onu Salpiyadi, forced by God. And the Rebbe once explained that a Jew and Egypt basically have absolutely no connection. A Jew doesn't belong in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is, besides corruption that it was in that time, Mitzrayim, we learned, is Meitzar, limitation, narrowness, Tzar is pain, Tzadik Reish is affliction, Tzar is pain with an ayin, but Tzar is affliction and narrowness. A Jew doesn't belong in Egypt. God told Yaakov Avinu, go, as we'll soon see, so therefore the Jew, he went.
What about Yitzchak?
Even though Yitzchak passed away already. Yitzchak passed away before Yosef. He was there. He was alive when Yosef was sold as a slave, but he was not alive at the time Yosef revealed himself to the brothers. He died like 10 years before that.
What age?
180.
180.
180. Yeah. Another interpretation is, and this is another interesting medrash. The medrash says, why did Yaakov stop in Be'er Sheva? Because in Be'er Sheva, Avram Avinu planted an eshel. Which one interpretation of eshel only means a hotel. Another interpretation of eshel, Rashi says, was an orchard. Now Yaakov Avinu, on the way down to Egypt, brought with him wood. And the wood, where did he get the wood from? He chopped down the wood from Avram Avinu's orchard that Avram Avinu planted. Why? Because later on in Chumash, when they built the Mishkan, the Torah tells them to use atzei shittim, acacia wood, cedar wood. So Rashi quotes, where did they get the wood from? Where do you get wood in the desert? So Rashi answers, Rashi argues with the Ramban and others, but Rashi learns that Yaakov Avinu brought down to Egypt trees because he foresaw the Jews are going to have to build the Mishkan and they're going to need wood. So he brought wood with him from Israel down to Mitzrayim, that when the Jews leave, they can take out the wood. So now the Medrash says, where did they get the wood from? It wasn't only Israeli wood. In other words, Yaakov simply wanted the basin of the Mishkan should be built from wood of Eretz Yisrael rather than desert wood. Because it's interesting, the Ramban learns later on in Chumash that the Yaakov didn't bring down, at least the Medrash says it, he's not arguing in the Medrash, but he says in the simple meaning of the Pasuk, the Jews had wood. They bought from Atzi Shittim. The Ramban in Chumash later says there was a place in Parshas Balak. It says Vayeshiv Yisrael B'Shittim. Shittim is the name of a city. Atzi Shittim was wood that they bought in the city of Shittim. So according to the Ramban, the Jews did business in the desert. They bought, they sold, they did business. So the Ramban learns, where did they get trees in the desert? They're neighboring cities or whatever, and they bought it. Rashi learns that Yaakov Avinu brought the wood down. So this is very special wood. Not only is it wood from Eretz Yisrael, but it's the wood that Avram Avinu planted, the Eshel. This is what the Medrash says.
He planted the trees or the wood?
The trees. Oh. And then he took out the wood.
So he actually took trees from there.
Right. And so those are the two reasons why he actually went to Be'er Sheva. Also, another thing, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, he also, but the dream over there, he had leaving Be'er Sheva. So these are all the great places. Be'er Sheva is a great place in Yaakov Avinu's life. So before he's leaving, and obviously he had a feeling he wouldn't be coming back, so he went to this place again, Be'er Sheva. What did he do? He brought the carbon to the God of his father Yitzchak. Now, why did Yitzchak, not Avram? You know, because the person is obligated to give more respect to a father than a grandfather. So you sacrifice it for the main name of Yitzchak. So the question is, the Ramban asks, so why couldn't he give it to both? Why couldn't he give it to the name of Yitzchak and Avram? And why did he dafka do it in the name of Yitzchak? Because it's the level of Yira, and the whole thing over here, what's going on, Apikaboli writes that the whole reason is that Yaakov Avinu dafka wanted the level of Yitzchak and not the level of Avram Avinu. So Vayom Elokim Yisrael b'maris alayla, God said to him in the vision of the night, also we like we said before, that some of us should learn that why did Yaakov Avinu bring Karbanis? Because he wanted to get God's permission not to go to Egypt. So he's hoping by giving God the Karban, God might tell him not to go. Okay. Vayemel Kim Yisrael b'maris alayla. God says to Yisrael in the dream of the night, in the vision of the night, because that's when basically most prophets had the prophecy at night. You know, Yaakov's dream was at night. A lot of times we find the prophecy is at night. Only Moshe Rabbeinu had it during the day. The reason why they used to have it, visions at night, all prophets except Moshe, because at night the neshama leaves the body. Because their bodies were not great enough to be able to have this divine prophecy in the body, like you are during the day. When the neshama left the body at night, so that's when they used to get the divine prophecies, because the neshama was separated from the body. Moshe Rabbeinu's body was so great that even during the day, he was able to get the same level of prophecy.
Rabbi?
Yep.
Good question. Where do we say, show that in regard to the naming of people, it doesn't show anywhere in the Chumash that we name after, a father or a grandfather? I mean, all the names are different. So how did this issue come about?
There were people, you have in Chumash a few names that you have doubled in generations. Like Lemach, you have. There are a few people that you have the names mentioned twice. Where the actual tradition became was much later in history. I don't know. I can't tell you exactly when it started. The reason why Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had to have separate names rather than being named after each other, first of all, as everybody knows, God is Ashkenazic. And the patriarchs were Ashkenazic. I mean, that's a given. That they were not Sephardic. So Ashkenazic Jews don't name after living parents or grandparents. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were together 15 years. I mean, as Avram Avinu passed away when Yaakov was 15. Now, they're Ashkenazic Jews, so they didn't name after a living parent. That itself is a proof.
Sephardics
don't do it. Should they do? Yeah. A lot of Sephardic Jews name after living grandparents. Yeah. It's a big honor, in fact. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Grandparents.
But Yaakov couldn't be named Avram because, number one, Avram was still alive. That's the proof, by the way, that they were Sephardic. Because Ashkenazi, because not for sure they would have done it. And also, Moshe Rabbeinu for sure was Ashkenazi, because his name wasn't Moshe, it was Moshe. So it has to be Ashkenazic. I mean, these are just the clear-cut proofs of who was whom.
How did they get to the European countries?
They got lost. The exile.
Like
they got lost. How did they get to America?
Yeah.
And they took the ocean liner.
In America.
Anyway, so that's one thing. The first answer is whatever. The real answer of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because their names imply their spiritual level. You're talking about three basic, fundamental levels of Yiddishkeit, right? The obvious we know are the Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, right? The three attributes. So each name represented and personified, what they were. So each one had a distinct level of serving Hashem. That's why we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avram, or at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, right? Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Yisrael, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We don't say Elokei Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. Lucher is the same God, right? Why don't we just say the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why do we say the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov if it's the same God?
They had different experiences.
So the answer is, each one had their own unique relationship with Hashem. Okay? Meaning, Avram's relationship with Hashem was an attribute of chesed, of kindness. Yitzchak's relationship with Hashem was a level of gvura, which was completely opposite of Yaakov, of Avram Avinu. And Yaakov had a different way. So each one had their own unique way of finding God that only those three had. The Shvatim didn't have their own way of serving God. I mean, their own unique, different than the parent. Therefore, we consider the patriarchs only three and not 12 and 3. because only the patriarchs had their own list. So they couldn't be named after Yaakov to be named after Avraham because it was a completely different level. Understand? So when it started, I don't know when it started, that he started reusing names.
That's when they started recycling?
Huh? Yeah, recycling names. They ran out of the phone numbers. They had to put new area codes on. What?
Question. If Yaakovino did not plan on, if he wasn't planning on staying, if he was only planning on going to see...
Well, that's what he was hoping.
Everything. And the whole family. I mean, why take everything?
Well...
All his belongings. And he was only going to see...
You're right. The truth is... Hashem is telling him soon, not yet, in the vision of the night, Hashem is telling him, go and I'll go down with you and I'll bring you up. Why Yaakov Avinu said that? According to the simple pshat, according to the simple meaning, you're right. Yaakov Avinu said, I'm going to see him and stay there. Some of Farshim learn that at this, Yaakov Avinu, but bottom line is Hashem told him to go, so he went, so to speak, lock, stock and barrel.
Rabbi.
But he was hoping to eventually come back before he died. Yeah,
I know. I remember. Of course, I bench every day.
I'm glad.
In the benching, you have Kamoi Shabarach, Shabarach, Es Avaisheni, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov.
Yeah.
The father, the God of. Unlike what you said, why he didn't say individually?
Doesn't say they're the God. It says, just like he blessed our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, here the davening means the God of, the God of, the God of. Okay. B'mar Salayli said to him, V'yemer Yaakov, 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 Hashem said to him the double expression, Yaakov, Yaakov, which means an expression of love. That's the simple meaning. A deeper meaning is to additional spirit, so to speak, that he puts upon him. Another interpretation that Radak says is because God didn't communicate with Avraham Avinu for so long, Hashem wanted to tell him it's double prophecy, so to speak, Yaakov, Yaakov, that he should realize it's actually prophecy.
First he told it's called Yaakov because it again depressed, because he understand it will go to Israel and he'll die there, and again depressed, and this is the reason it's from here now it's called only Yaakov.
Some of Hashem learn that why is he being called Yaakov now, if the previous psukim calls him Yisrael? Because Yisrael was because he fought with God and man in the Asaph story. But Lepoel, in Egypt, he would not have to that triumph of, the fighting that he had to have. So therefore he's going back to the level of Yaakov. Number two, because he left into a lower level, he left the Madrega of Eretz Yisrael, he went into the level of Yaakov because he went down to Mitzrayim. But from the opposite side, Dafka Yaakov was able to accomplish more than Yisroel. In other words, even though Yaakov symbolizes the heel of the Jew, Yaakov heel, and Yisroel symbolizes the head of the Jew, and normally the head is higher than the heel, but there's an advantage in the heel over the head, and that is in self-sacrifice. If God would say to the heel, go into burning water. Just jump into the hot mikveh, So the heel, because it has no brains, no seichel, goes. The head, on the other hand, starts to think, one second. Does he mean me? Maybe he means somebody else. It's like when you say in shul, stop talking, everybody thinks they mean everybody else, except the talker. So he says, it maybe doesn't mean me. Maybe I should cool off the water first. Maybe... baby, I didn't say any names. The hat fits, whoever it fits. Maybe, right? So, Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, is much more in the heel than it is in the head. Intellect doesn't allow self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice is when you don't have the intellect. So, Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim, where there is no revelation of godliness, where there is no things like that, so more Mesiras Nefesh was demanded from Yaakov and the family. So therefore going down to Egypt, he was called Yaakov, because he had to bring Yaakov. If you look at the word Yaakov, is Yud Akev. Yud is God. into the Akiv, into the heel. So what's the level of Yaakov bringing godliness, the Yud, into Akiv, even into the heel, to the lowest part? So Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim is like the famous word that we discussed in Shabbos, that Yaakov's best years were in Egypt. Why were the best years in Egypt? Because to have a yeshiva in Egypt and to live like a Jew in Egypt is a greater accomplishment than being a religious Jew for Yaakov Avinu in the land of Canaan. So therefore, the advantage over here of Yaakov was that he brought the godliness even into the lowest of levels. So going down, God is calling him Yaakov again. In an advantage name, in the greatness of the name Yaakov, rather than the name Yisro.
But Eretz Canaan at the time was also like sort of exile because it was surrounded by tribes.
But the land itself was holy.
Okay, so
the land.
Today, like today, we have a lot of different things in Israel. The land is holy.
Correct.
We're still in exile. So it's as hard for him, in a way, to be in the land of Canaan.
It's still easier in the land of Canaan. First of all, the most corrupt country in the world at that time was Egypt, by far, it says. So even that level, forget the holiness level, this is corrupt and this is less corrupt, it was still better. But even that level, Yaakov Avinu felt the Kedushin Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't as holy as when all the Yidden were there, obviously. But there was still a certain level of Kedusha. The land of Israel today is Arzeinu HaKadosh, it's a holy land, even though we're in a heavy golus there. I mean, nobody's going to deny the fact that if you have to be afraid of suicide bombers, and you have a lot of people that are low kashet, you know, publicizing low kashet and all that, I mean, we're in a big galus. But that doesn't take away from the physical earth as holy.
Mm-hmm. So it's the physical earth really that counts.
Correct.
Okay,
so he said, Yaakov, Yaakov, Ayami, Neini, he said, here I am, meaning, Hineini means, it's a sign of humbleness, I'm ready, what do you want? Vayemen, Hashem said to him, Anechi Okel Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your father. Al Teira Merdam Mitzrayim, don't be afraid of going down into Egypt. Meaning, obviously, the fact that Hashem has to say to him, don't be afraid, means that Yaakov Avinu obviously was afraid to go down to Mitzrayim. But Hashem had to tell him, don't be afraid. Ki L'gai Godol HaSimcha Sham, I'm going to make you as a great leader there. Okay? In other words, don't be afraid. Because Dafke, there, will you become a great nation. And again, because they're in Golus, because there's the blockage, in other words, you know, if you want to generate electricity, you need to build a dam in the water, which is a blockage, that then when the water gushes through, it goes through with much more force. In Golus, a Jew can accomplish much more than they could in the time of redemption or in Eretz Yisrael. If you want to filter water, you need to have what's the filter? A filter is basically a blockage that, because of the pressure of the water going through, the junk remains behind. And all the things like we learned, you want to take the hide of an animal, make it into leather or parchment, you have to torture the animal. So Yaakov is being told by Hashem, don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim, because Dafka over there will you become a great nation. So you don't have to be afraid. Huh?
So where is the Mitzvah? He's telling him. He has to...
That he trusts it.
I mean,
what do you mean, I mean?
If God comes and talks to you, you wouldn't trust it?
Let me ask you very simple. God talks to all of us.
No, I mean, here it's...
What do you mean, no, I mean?
It's revealed.
So the Torah is very revealed.
So we are all tzaddikim at the level of Yaakov?
No.
So we don't have prophets like we have.
So? You wake up in the morning?
Well,
did you wake up this morning?
Yes.
Okay.
But my Mesirut Nefesh is in blind, like Emunah B'Choshech, when it's even in the more dark moment, I have faith that God is with me. But here, we have tzaddikim that are revealed. So where is really the Mesirut Nefesh if God is revealing himself to them all the time?
Because Yaakov Avinu is being told, go to a place where there's no divine presence, there's no divine inspiration, and Yaakov Avinu is trusting Hashem. And that's what the Zohar says. Why was he afraid to go down to Mitzrayim? Yaakov says, because there's no Shechina, and my kids are going to be lost.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Was Hashem really revealing himself all the time to Yaakov and Avraham Avinu? I mean, there aren't that many times where we actually say in the Torah where he was speaking to them directly.
There were a lot of times God revealed himself to the prophets. The Gemara says that prophecies which were relevant for all future generations were written in scriptures. Those prophecies which are not relevant for future generations were not written into scriptures. I'm sure, I mean, I wasn't there, and Avraham Avinu never told me either. And the last time I spoke to God, he also didn't tell me that. I'm sure God spoke many more times to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's just not recorded in the Chumash because there's no relevance for us to know it. How many times did he speak to him? Once a day, twice a day, once a week, once a month? I don't know. All it says is for the 22 years that God didn't speak to him. How often did God speak to him? There's no way anybody's going to know. And I'm sure they didn't tell anybody either. Not unless it was relevant to be told.
Rabbi, yeah. I think everybody here should be aware of one very good thing, whoever, Hashem, whoever, made it, that Israel and Egypt signed a peace treaty.
Okay.
And Egypt has the biggest army among the Arabs at that time. I don't know if they're more powerful anymore, but when Anwar Sadat was president...
20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
one of the biggest mistakes the Jews made. Anyway.
No, I disagree.
Okay, disagree.
As a teacher of history, I disagree with.
Okay, they gave away all the oil to Egypt and got nothing in return. Okay.
It's basketball or history?
Both.
Both.
In history, teachers they play basketball in this history class.
I draw circles and X's on the board.
The basketball class you were teaching is history.
Okay. Anyway, so it says that Hashem is telling him, don't be afraid. Why? We'll just start the next pasuk. I'm going to go down with you to Egypt. In other words, I will protect you. And I will take you out of Egypt. And Yosef will place his hand on your eyes, meaning he'll take care of you. I mean, this part we're going to leave for next time. But basically, Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu that you should go down. All your fears...
Yaakov,
I'm saying. I want to see if you're listening. Tell Yaakov Avinu there's nothing to be afraid about because I'll be with you, so nothing to worry.